Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our meditation this evening, all three of our main readings for this evening, the Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospels, they go together very well. The story of Jonah. You hear part of it. You hear it from chapter 3 of Jonah. There's only four chapters in the book of Jonah. But do you know the whole story of Jonah? All we think of is that he got swallowed by a big fish. Well, in our text it says the Lord came to him a second time. What did he say the first time? Well, that was in chapter 1 of Jonah, when the Lord told him to do just that, to get up and go to Nineveh, and to proclaim that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me, he said to Jonah. And Jonah's like, ain't happening. I'm out of here. So he leaves. And he gets on a ship, trying to go to Tarshish to get away. He's trying to hide from the Lord. Sound familiar? So, on the ship, a mighty storm comes up. And then the boat is tossed about terribly, and they're about to sink. So they take lots to see who is the God they believe in, so angry against that the ship is in mighty peril. They couldn't figure it out, because they wanted to throw that person over the side. So they look at Jonah, and Jonah actually owns up to it. Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give us thought that we may not perish. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where have you come from? What is your country? What people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this you have done? For the man who knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had what he had told them. So he actually volunteers to save the men. He jumps over the side. And God causes him to be swallowed by the big fish, where he lived for 3 days and 3 nights, it says. And then he prays that long prayer. He prays to God, I called out to the Lord out of my distress. The Lord already answered. The Lord already came to Jonah. What did he do? He tried running. He was being called by God to work for him. He refused. So now, in the belly of this big fish, he prays to God to save him. The fish, in the English version, the ESV version, it says, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And then our text, the Lord came to him the second time and said, Jonah, now go to Nineveh and call them out for all the bad things they're doing. And he did that. And they repented. Then we go to our epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, Paul. This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. Stop. Here because it stopped right there. Because the next verse, what's he talking about? The next next verse. The Bible interprets itself. And if you were to keep reading there at verse 32, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Paul says, as a single man, or as a single woman, your thoughts should be concentrated on taking care of yourself and making your relationship with the Lord right. But then you become married. Now he also says, being married later on, he says, you know, if anyone thinks that he is not behaving properly toward his betrothed, if his passions are strong, and it has to be, let him do as he wishes, let them marry. It is no sin. But whoever is firmly established in his heart, being under no necessity but having his desire under control, and has determined this in his heart to keep her as his betrothed, he will do well. So Paul encourages, the Bible is all about marriage from beginning to end. But what he's saying here in this epistle text is, we're called as single people to devote ourselves to God. And when we become married individuals, we have to rightly divide our time. Now, how do we rightly divide our time? He says he wants you to be free from anxieties. But the married man is anxious about worldly things. Your relationship with each other. As well you should, he says. What this whole thing is talking about is being called by God as his children. We have to maintain our trust, our faith, and our devotion to God first. Without God first, there's nothing. The creator of all things, the God who put breath into our own bodies, requires and calls for and demands our devotion, our praise, our love, and our trust. First commandment, you shall have no other gods. Nothing else comes between you and God. And that's not saying you're not supposed to love your wife or you're not supposed to marry and love your husband. Of course you are. Now, the law is Jonah didn't do what the Lord commanded, what the Lord called him to do, and the result was he got eaten by the belly of the big fish. But God still continued to take care of him. The law here this evening is your praise, your devotion to the Lord comes first and foremost, whether you're single or you're married. Now, the gospel of our Lord says, now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This is the word of our Lord. He's saying, repent and believe in me. Jesus Christ, the God-man himself, he is the living gospel. He is the one that has come to save us. He is the Messiah. And he is saying, believe in me. follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And just at those words, they got up and they dropped everything they were doing, and they went with him. No questions asked. This is God himself coming to them in the flesh and saying, come with me, follow me. And going a little farther, they saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, also fishermen. And immediately it says he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. They dropped what they were doing. You see the flow of these readings that we have before us tonight? The law and the gospel. Without question, the disciples dropped what they were doing here on earth to follow him. They were called directly by God to follow him. You're called to be a wife. You're called to be a husband. You're called to be a grandfather. We all have callings by God. You can't walk away from them like you could in today's life, but you can't, in God's eyes, walk away from your wife. No more than I can walk away from my grandson. God has called you to these vocations. So, what is the gospel? What is God saying when we follow him? I think the gospel speaks its loudest in Jonah's prayer that he prays in the belly of the fish. Lord, it is to you I call out in distress. When times are troubled, things are bad, we call to him. He can deliver us from evil. That's what we pray. He can deliver us from all our troubles. Just yesterday, I encountered a most difficult time in my ministry. And all that I got was pray. Talk to God. No, really talk to God. And I did. He makes things better. And then you want to see Jesus. That's what we want. And that's why we've gathered here tonight. To see him. He's present here. In his very body and in his blood. We will touch, taste, and feel the glory of the Lord for the forgiveness of all our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the love of God, the peace that he provides, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.